Okay, we're talking about a very well-known sugya in the world of Tumah v'Tahara, the sugya of Cherev Hareyu Kechalal. We will define that term in just a little bit. Ariel, it'll be okay. One of the reasons why it's a well-known sugya is that it happens to be, it comes up in a Tosfos Baba Kama on Daf Beis. The sugya in Baba Basra on Daf Chaf, many of us I'm sure are familiar with it. It comes up in a variety of other places in Meseches Pesachim, as well as in Meseches Nazir. You can't escape. Cherev Hareyu Kechala. What exactly is the din? So the halacha is as follows. Normally, the way that Tumah works, we've spoken about this, Avos and Toldos, is that when something is Tameh, when something Tameh is Metameh, something else, that which receives the Tumah always goes down a level. So when an Av is Metameh something, so that thing becomes a Rishon. And when a Rishon is Metameh, that thing becomes a Sheni. It always drops off. It always drops off a little bit. The most intense form of Tumah, if you remember, is Tumas Mace. Rashi calls that the Avi Avos HaTumah. So when a mace is Metame a person, that person becomes an Avatumah. That Avatumah is Metame, something that becomes a Rishon. A Rishon becomes a Sheni. The Gemara Darshan did Meseches Nazir, the Gemara as well in Meseches Pesachim, that there is a halacha of Cherev Hareyu Kechala. What does that mean? That if I have the original context is a sword, but if I have certain kinds of objects, and those objects become tamei mace, similar at least to like a sword, we'll have a hook in a second, what exactly is included and is not included, but when a sword, let's say as an example, becomes tamei mace, so when it touches a dead body, it doesn't drop down from avi avos HaTumah to av HaTumah, that sword also is an avi avos HaTumah. And similarly, the next level, when the sword touches someone who was in Av HaTumah of Tumas Mace, when, as an example, let's say I touched a dead body. So that dead body was Avi Avos HaTumah. I touched a dead body, so I become an Av HaTumah. If I now come along and I touch this sword, so the sword does not drop a level to become a Rishon. The sword stays at the same level. The sword is in Av HaTumah. It doesn't drop a level. That's the din of Cherev Hareyu Kechalal. We're dorish that from the Psukim in Bamidbar in Perek Yud Tes. The Torah tells us there, V'chol asher yiga al pnei asana b'chalal cherev. The Torah puts next the word chalal and cherev next to each other, teaching us that a cherev, a sword, is like a dead body itself. It doesn't drop a level. It stays the same level of avi avos, if it touches a dead body. If it touches an avatoma, it keeps the same level as an actual avatoma. What kinds of kalim do we say this about? What kinds of vessels that become, interact with Tumas Mace, do we say it doesn't drop a level? So that's a machlokes harishonim. That's machlokes harishonim. The most narrow shita is a shita that Rabbeinu Chananel in Psachim quotes a tradition from the Gaonim, as Rabbeinu Chananel sometimes did. Rabbeinu Chananel has a tradition from the Gaonim that maybe the only time we say it is with the item that actually killed someone. That if you killed someone, so that item stays the same. That item stays the same, and it's not going to drop. However, many Rishonim argue. The Shita of Rashi, the Shita of Tosfos in Meseches Nazir, the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam, as quoted in the Rash in Meseches Oalos, is that Rabbeinu Tam says this is true about any kli mateches. Any metal kli that becomes, touches a dead body, stays to be avi avos HaTumah, doesn't drop. Or, if you touch an av HaTumah, let's say I touch a dead body, avi avos, I touch this, now I become an av HaTumah. If I touch a kli mateches, that kli mateches also stays the same level. It's not dafka, this kli that kills, it's any metal kli. The third shita is shitas HaRambam. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Tumas Meis in Perek Hey. The Rambam writes it's true about almost any kli. Almost any kli which touches a dead body continues to be avi avos HaTumah. Any kli which touches an av HaTumah continues to be an av HaTumah. The only exception the Rambam says is kli cheres, an earthenware kli. That would drop a level. Every other kli stays at the exact same level. Every other kli stays at the exact same level. So that's the din of cherev reyu kachalal. Certain kinds, we'll assume, let's say for now, like Rabbeinu Tam, metal, kalim, certain kinds of kalim, they touch their body, it stays the same level of the avat tumah. If it touches an avat tumah, it stays avat tumah. That's against the normal rule that it always drops, a level. It always drops a level. Is the same thing true for a Rishon L'Tumah? Let's say that I touch a dead body. The dead body is the Avi Avos HaTumah. That's what Rashi quotes it. I touch it and I become an Avatumah. I'm Matame something as a Rishon L'Tumah. And now a Cheref touches a Rishon L'Tumah. Does that also keep the status of the Rishon or does it drop? That is a Machlokas HaRishonim. Most Rishonim assume the Shita of Rashi in Meseches Chulin. Most Rishonim assume we only say this halacha about Avi Avos Atoma and Av Atoma, but it would not apply. It would not apply to a Rishon Atoma. There it would actually drop a level down. There it may drop a level down. In contrast, the Rabban Chulin quotes Rabbeinu Chananel, the Bar Tanura in Meseches Psachim. They assume the same halacha would be true by a Rishon L'Tumah. It's the same way that if a Kli touches Avi Avos, it stays as Avi Avos. If it touches an Avatumah, it stays as an Avatumah. Also, if it touches a Rishon, it stays as a Rishon L'Tumah. So that's a little bit of an introduction to the idea of Cherev HaRehu Kechala. Okay. That's the halacha. That ordinarily things drop, but not certain types of kalim when they interact with Tumas Mace, so they do not drop a level. They don't drop a level. Seems to be an exception to the normal rule. Clarity as a whole, thus far? One, two. Okay. There is a Chakira. Yeah.
What was the last sheet recorded?
I don't even remember. It's very late at night. What are we talking about?
About
The Rabban Chulin quotes me to Chananel. And the Bar Tanura in Meseches Psachim quotes the idea that maybe a Rishon stays as a Rishon. There is a Chakira which many Achronim ask. Well, formulate a Chakira. The Chakira seems to be, in many ways, it's a good way of highlighting many different Machloksim in Rishonim. Here's the following question. Mahalach number one. This is found in many different Achronim. If you want a wonderful discussion of Cheref HaRehu Kechalal, but a great one, Rabbi Ganak Shlita in the Sefer Birchas Yitzchak in Meseches Sanhedrin, I believe. That is where Rabbi Ganak has a great discussion about Cheref HaRehu Kechalal. He has a mahalach of two dinim that we're not going to talk about at all tonight. We find this in many Rosh Hashanah, many Achronim, they're into this kind of a question. How does Cheref HaRehu Kechalal work? Mahalach number one is that the way Cheref HaRehu Kechalal works is that the cherev is tame al tumas meis. It's really like regular tumas meis. The gezeiras hakasav is just the way we said it. Whereas normally you drop a level, this taught me an exception. This is regular tumas meis. It's regular tumas meis, but it didn't drop a level. It stayed at the same. So it's regular tumas meis, but instead of dropping a level, it stayed the same. That's mahalach number one. That's a simple way in which we set it out. However, there may be a second mahalach. The second mahalach is that in fact cheref reyu kechalal is not actually tameh al tumas meis. It looks like tumas meis because it touched something which is tumas meis, but the fact that it didn't drop a level is not because it's an exception to the rule that told us always drop a level, but rather the chiddush haTorah was there's a new kind of tumah. This new kind of tumah is called tumas cherev harehu kechalal. That the cherev gets a new kind of tumah. We'll see many nafkaminas to help explain it to you, but I'll tell you a similar kind of a phenomenon. The din is that a woman who becomes a nida, so the woman who becomes a nida is tumah, that's called tumas nida. There's another kind of tumah called a boel nida. The guy who has tumah with someone who is boel nida, so that person becomes tameh midin as boel nida. Same chakira there. Is boel nida tameh because it's a form of tumas nida? He interacted with tumas nida, or is boel nida like a new kind of tumah? That when I interact with a guy who is be with nida, there's a new kind of tumah which is introduced. A similar kind of a question. So what is Tumas Charev Aryeh Kechala? It's Tumas Mace, just it didn't drop a level, or it's a new kind of Tuma. This comes up because it's pretty clear that Tosfos Babakam and Daf Beis assumes it's Tumas Mace that just doesn't drop a level. A lot of the Achronim have the other Mahalach. What are Nafkaminas that may come up? So I'll give you a couple different Nafkaminas. Maybe we'll mention 4 or 5 Nafkaminas, depending on, my own physical stamina and how things are going. Nafkamina number one. The halacha is that a kohen, lenefesh lo yitama ba'amav. The halacha that Torah teaches us in Parshas Emor, that kohen is not allowed, is not permitted to become tamei through tumas mace. A kohen is allowed to become tamei through other kinds of tumah, but can't become tamei through tumas mace. Similarly, a nazir, as an example, also, the nazir is commanded not to become tamei through tumas mace. But a nazir also, I don't know if it has the same degrees of isurim. So what exactly is the halacha? What about cherev harayu gechala? This question, as Rishonim point out, could theoretically come up. Let's say, again, at least for certain Rishonim, let's say you have a metal object that became tameh through tumas mace. How could that happen? For some Rishonim it would apply. Let's say there's a metal object in the room when a mace died. When a mace dies, so how do I become tamei? If you touch a dead body, you become tamei. Also, something called tumas ohel. If you go on top, below, or in the same room, you become tamei. So let's assume that a sword could become tamei, tumas ohel. Let's assume like some Rishonim. So a person passed away, Rachmana Litzlan, all the metal objects in that room now become tamei. So can a kohen, can a nazir, can they pick up that object? Can they pick up that object or not? Are they able to touch it? Do they become tamei? Are they commanded on not becoming tamei through tumas cherev reyu kachala? So Tosfos in Meseches Nazir quotes a machlokas harishonim about this. Tosfos points out that there seems to be two different opinions about Rishonim. The Ramban has described this also in his Perush al Torah, but Tosfos in Nazir and Daphne Dalam and Beis quotes this as a machlokas harishonim. What is machlokas harishonim based on? So the chavur like this. If it's a form of tumas mace, it just didn't drop a level. So of course kohanim are commanded not to touch it. Of course nazirim are commanded because it's tamei midin tumas mace, and kohanim and nazirim are tamei al tumas mace. But if I understand that it's not really tamei midin tumas mace, if I understand that it's tamei again not through tumas mace, but rather it's tamei as a new form of tumah. So this new form of tumah, mehechi tesi, a kohen's commanded to avoid it. Mehechi tesi, and not just commanded to avoid it. They can interact with it. So that's nafkamina number one. If it works, midin tumas meis, a kohen and nazir have to be careful about it. If it's not midin tumas meis, they would not have to. Nafkamina number one. These nafkaminas are a great way, Derek Agav, to go over some of the unique halachas about tumas meis. All nafkaminas are basically going to be the same. We're going to point out a halacha about tumas mace. We're going to wonder if that halacha applies to paraver kachalal. And then we're going to have our nafkamina. We'll get a little bit fancier later, I think. Nafkamina number two is the following. The Torah tells us that the process of tahara for different tumas, so different tumas have different standards of tahara. Sometimes when you become tamei, you go to a mikvah. That's what I have to do to become tahor. Mikvah, maybe Harav Shemesh, it's Bul Yom discussion from a couple of weeks ago. But sometimes you go to the mikvah, and that's all you have to do. The Mitzorah, as an example, has a much more complicated process of tahara. The Mitzorah, there are a couple stages of it. It involves, a couple dead birds, throwing away a bird. It's an interesting kind of a thing, the process of taharas Mitzorah. What are the details of the process to become pure from Tumas Meis? So one of the unique halachas to become pure through Tumas Meis is that you have to sprinkle ashes from the Para Aduma. Ashes from the Para Aduma on the third and seventh day. On the third and seventh day of the process. So that's when we sprinkle. Machlokas harishonim about the following question. Let's say you become tamei through tumas cherev harayu kechala. Let's say you become Tame. Do you also require the 7 days and the sprinkling on days 3 and 7? Is it like Tumas Meis, which requires a 7-day time period and sprinkling on days 3 and 7? And therefore, when you become Tame, that Kli requires days 3 and 7. That's the Shita of the Yureyim. The Yureyim, one of the great Balei HaTosfos, they permit both of the mitzvahs. It requires days 3 and 7. However, the Ramban writes in his Peirush al HaTorah, the Ramban maintains that there is no need to wait for days 3 and 7. There's no need. What's shot that there's no need? Because the need for 3 and 7 is only when it's Tumas Meis. If it's not a Tumas Meis halacha, then you really would bipashtus, then you would not actually require it. Ramban and Babasra and Dafchaf, some other places also. I'm going to speak very briefly right now. If you get me, great. If not, it's all good. There is a discussion a little bit in a Rosh Hashanah and Chagiga. I'll speak briefly. Let's say I hold that it is Midin Tumas Meis. It is Midin Tumas Meis. And let's say as an example, again, well, not people won't say exactly the same way, but let's say you have someone that was coming to Tumas Meis, and they're in the middle of their process of Tahara. It's on the third day, and they were already sprinkled. And now that person touches a cherem. So that person is still tameh. So that person, lechora, gave over, created cherem from Reb Kala. It's an afat tumah also. And let's say you say that it gives over tumas meis. Do you have to restart the count on that cherem? Is it a new kind? Meaning, even if it is tumas meis, which you got and you didn't drop, do you have to restart the count because now it's tumas meis requires 7 days? Or do you argue that even if it's Tumas Meis, it's only a hemshift of what was Metameyit? And since what was Metameyit is already on day 3, so this is also already on day 3. Because maybe on day 3, part of a different Shaila, the 7-day process weakens the Tumah. So maybe whatever it gives over is also somewhat weakened. Or do we not say that? That's a machlokes ha'achronim. But the main question for us is, on days 3 and 7, do you require the 7-day wait? Do you require sprinkling on days 3 and 7? Or do you not require the sprinkling on days 3 and 7? Nafkamina number three is the following. There is a specific halacha found by Tumas Meis, which is likely not found by any other form of Tumah. The Mishnayos, the beginning of Maseches Kelim, point this out, I believe, as a distinguishing factor in Tumas Meis. And that is the idea of Tumas, and that is Tumas Ohel. Tumas Ohel. When a Meis passes away, I can become Tumi not only through touching it, but anyone that goes on top, below, or in the same room, that's all Tumas Ohel. On top comes up when the Kohanim want to fly. Kohanim want to fly somewhere, if you're nervous, they're going to be over based on Kvaros, so that would be Tumas Ohel because you're on top. Below presumably happens a little bit less frequently, unless you frequent, I guess, tunnels under, you know, graves. I don't think it happens as frequently. But being in the same room could really happen. That's the shilas about, as an example, shilas about in hospitals for Kohanim to go in. So sometimes they'll have signs up that a Kohen shouldn't go in, questions like that. Certain places we referenced a couple weeks ago are even built and structured in order to try to minimize that problem. Like morgue construction sometimes. In certain different places, it's built in a way that'll create less Tumas Ohel problems. Because once a mace in the room, everything in that room becomes Tumas. What's called, you know, when is it spread, when not, those are all important sugyas. Cherev Areu Kakalo. Does that cherev have the capacity to be metame through Tumas Ohel? Does that cherev have the capacity to be metame through Tumas Ohel? So Tosvos in Mesech HaShabbos and Daf Yizayin, Tosvos in Baba Basra and Daf Chaf, Tosvos maintained, sure, yes it does. Yes, it does. It's Tumas Meis, and therefore it can be Metame even through Tumas Ohel. What about Cheref Reyev Kekalel? Sorry, what about the Rambam? The Rambam maintains, no. The Rambam maintains that's not true. That even though Cheref Reyev Kekalel becomes Tame, it doesn't have the capacity to impart Tumas through Tumas Ohel. What shot? If I understand, it's like regular Tumas Meis. So of course it could impart through Tumas Ohel. But if I understand it's not through Tumas Meis, It's not through Tumas Meis. So then that's why it couldn't impart through Tumas Oel, because only Meis can give over. This is a new kind of Tumma called Tumas Chevrei Bekalo. Now, we just had a Chakira and three Nafkaminas. I'm going to be quickly in brackets right now. If you get me great, if not, it's all good. It would be awesome if all the Rishonim always lined up. It would be awesome if all the Rishonim lined up. And then whoever says it doesn't create Tumas Oel, and you don't have to wait 3 and 7, and a Nazir and a Kohen need not be careful. If it all lined up, that would be great. If it doesn't all line up, you're going to have to start coming across sort of other kinds of Svaras. So as an example, some Rishonim would say, even if it really is Tumas Meis, it's not going to create Tumas Ohel. Why isn't it going to create Tumas Ohel? Why not create Tumas Ohel if it's really like Tumas Meis? So some Rishonim point out, says the Ramban as an example, Teirus Al Torah, because it says in Chumash, Adam ki yamas ba'ohel. Adam ki yamas ba'ohel. Says the Ramban, it could be that even if you are Tumas Meis, in order to give over Tumas Ohel, it's not enough to be Tumas Meis. You have to be Tumas Adam. It has to be that it's really not through a sword, not cheref. It's a special gezeiros hakatzim. Sometimes some of the nafkaminas may not line up. You have to look into some of the nafkaminas in its own kind of a way. I'll point out as an interesting historical shalavim aside, if anyone is intrigued by this. In shilas about whether kohanim are allowed to be doctors or not, So there's a somewhat well-known tshuva of Rav Gorin. Rav Gorin, chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael. Somewhat well-known tshuva of Gorin. Rav Gorin had a certain kula about, he had a chaf for maybe how kohanim could be doctors through the halachas of cherev harei ukechalo. It's one of these like famous kinds of marmakums. What's interesting about the tshuva? It's not really accepted lamaisa, I think. The interesting is it's written to, the tshuva writes, the tshuva is lamed aleph resh yud Waxman. Looks like the tshuva is written to Ari Waxman. Le Ari Waxman. It is not. It's a guy named Larry Waxman, I believe, who is the recipient of the tshuva. But I believe many shalom alum have wondered why Rav Waxman, a rabbi and non-Kohen, was so fascinated that he wrote a shaila to Rav Gorin, of all people. Interesting aside. But I believe it was not. I believe that's who it was written to. If I remember correctly, that's the tshuva of Rav Gorin. Okay. I will. Okay. There is an interesting discussion. I'll take you like off. There's a lot of famous Torah and nice lumdas. I'll give you an interesting discussion, which comes up in Chayav Rei Gachalal. It's one of the great Talmidei Chachamim in our generation, the Gemara Chavei Sfarim, is Rav David Cohn. Now, there are many Rav David Cohns who have written wonderful Sfarim. Here's somebody, Rav David Cohn from Brooklyn, Gvul Yaivitz. Rav David Cohn has written some great Sfarim on a lot of different things. Sfarim, Maisa Avos, Sivim Labanim, which are wonderful. A lot of really just wonderful, wonderful Sfarim. And say for O.L. David, he has an interesting discussion. The Torah tells us that who killed Agag? If you go back, Navi tells us. Who killed Agag was the king of Amalek. Who killed Agag? Shmuel. What's interesting about Shmuel killing Agag? Shmuel was a Nazir. Shmuel was a Nazir. Why was Shmuel a Nazir? Isn't this part of the story? Part of the story. Shmuel's a Nazir. How was Shmuel allowed to? Ech nitma lemeis. How was Shmuel, who's considered to be a Nazir, look at the Gemara Nazir and Daf Samech Vav. How is Shmuel, who was a Nazir, allowed to kill Agag? Lechora he was Tamei. Lechora he was Tamei Meis. So Rav David Cohn has a couple different teretzes to this kasha in his Sefer Oel David and Chelek Beis. One answer is there's a daya in the Gemara in Mesechas Nazir. This is in Shuvas Or HaMeir and other places. That perhaps even though a Nazir is not allowed to become Tamei Meis, maybe that's not true if you are a Nazir who is a Nazir Shimshon, a Nazir for his entire life. A Nazir Shimshon maybe is allowed to be Tamei Meis, and therefore Shmuel was allowed to kill Agag. But that only works for the Man D'Amar and the Gemara, that Nazir Shimshon is not allowed to become Tamei Meis. But for the one day in the Gemara in Nazir and Dalamei Beis, Nazir Shimshon is Usser to be Tamei Meis. So Rav David Cohn has a couple interesting things he says. One of them, he suggests, is that the Torah tells us an interesting word. The Torah says, Vayish Tasef, Vav Yud Shin Samech Pei, Shmuel Es Agag. it's an odd kind of a verb. Like, what did Shmuel exactly do to kill Agag? So one theory he has is as follows. Shmuel never touched Agag. He killed him through a sword. But if Shmuel would kill Agag through a sword, he'd become Tamei, because the sword would become Tamei Mace. So he suggests maybe the sword that he used, which sort of relates to the odd verb there, maybe the sword he used, the Yishlomer, so Husker, to Shmuel, Shtamesh, Becherev, Shneemar, Shnitma, Mitam, Cherev, Gekhalel, Tietachin, Shestamesh, Begezer, Shal Eitz. Maybe he used a wooden object, because a wooden object, for many of you shown him, because again, even the Gaonim who held has to be the sword, like, this is the sword. And if it's Klimatechas, we'll kill Klimatechas. So maybe he used like a wooden kind of a sword, and maybe that would be good enough. But would that be good for all we've shown him? Would that be good for all we've shown him? So he has another suggestion. Another suggestion. There is a Deya in the Gemara in Yevamos and Daf Samech Aleph, where there seems to be a machlokas in the Gemara. Do we say Cherev Hareyu Kechalal when the dead body that you touch is a non-Jewish dead body? Do we say it when the dead body is a non-Jewish dead body? The same way that we may relate to Cherev Kechalal as being somewhat weaker, you know, it doesn't apply by Tumas Ohel, and Tumas Ohel may not apply by non-Jewish bodies, so maybe this is also somewhat weaker. In which case, L'chor Yesh Lomar, Lo Ne'emar Iser Tumma De Cherev Eitzel, this case, because it's been Mace Guy, and maybe that would be the pshat. So what he really does there very nicely in that piece is talking about different ideas of Cherev Kechalal in light of that, trying to explain what exactly may have happened. He has another suggestion, Derech Agav, that in order to avoid the problem, because Pashtus, he did use the metal kli. Pashtus, he did use the metal kli. He quotes the Peirush Rabbeinu Yeshaya, points out that he did use a metal kli. So maybe the phrase, the odd verb, is that he stabbed him, but he pulled out before Agag died. He gave him more of a mortal wound, but did not actually keep it there until he died. And that way he prevented the problem of Cherev Hareyu Kechalal. All different sort of terutzim, but I think a nice general idea. It is relatively late, at least for me. So we spoke tonight about the din of Cherev Hareyu Kechalal. Normally Tumah drops a level. Suddenly Cherev Hareyu Kechalal, it stays as an Avi Avos HaTumah, it stays as an Ava Tumah. Machlokes HaRishonim, shown him if it stays as a Rishon LaTumah or not. We saw an important chakira. Is it still in the category of Tumas Meis that didn't drop a level, or is it a new kind of Tumah? Nafkamina, if it requires sprinkling on 3 and 7. Nafkamina, if it can be Tame, Be'ohel. Nafkamina, if Kohen and Nazir are Mechuyavin. If Kohen and Nazir are Mechuyavin. We then spoke a little bit about this question of Shmuel. You know, is a Nazir really chayv in it or not? What exactly does it mean? Maybe he used 8. Maybe he put it in but pulled it out. All these questions that come up as far as the general halacha of Cherev Hareyu Kechalal. There's a lot more to talk about, but this is what we will do for tonight. Have a wonderful rest of your evening.